We're looking at Book of Acts today, and chapter 1. I have a little prayer first. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the Book of Acts and just how so many people have been blessed down through the ages because of these scriptures. And we do pray that the Holy Spirit will bless us tonight as we consider just what these things mean and how it applied to the early disciples and believers in Christ. We do pray in his precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 down to 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theothes, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had all showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized of water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. It's a lovely section of the scriptures. So the book of Acts was written by Luke, who was a Gentile physician. He's sometimes called Dr. Luke. We don't know just when Luke turned to Christ, but you have a look at Luke chapter 1. Luke 1 to 5. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things, wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, I was up to there, verse 4. And so, Book of Acts is basically a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. You have a look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them up out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So Luke was written somewhere between AD 60 and AD 85. The book of Acts was also written that approximate time between AD 60 and AD 90. Now the apostles began to teach all that the Lord had taught them and the things that they had seen him do. They taught the Old Testament scriptures and the Lord Jesus' explanation as to what those scriptures meant and how they applied to their lives at that time. It also included his interaction with other people, that is the Jewish leaders, the priests, the Roman rulers, and the common people at that particular time. Some of the examples of the Lord teaching gave, we find in the Beatitudes in Matthew 6, chapter 6 up to 7. Which carries a whole range of subjects that the scribes and the priests had neglected. They'd brought in their own insights and interpretations that God had never intended or given. They also made new rules that suited their own circumstances and made life difficult for the people of Israel and foreigners whom they came into contact with. Now, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6 says that Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. They're setting them apart to represent God to the rest of the world. So this is God's plan set out in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 43 and verse 9 and 10, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us a former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall be after me. So Israel was to be a witness and a testimony to the world. But their obedience to his laws were designed to make others take notice of his righteousness, as we see in Deuteronomy 6, and also Isaiah 49:6 says that they were to be a light to the nations, that his salvation may reach the ends of the earth. So Isaiah 46 and verse 6 said that they were to show God's covenant to the people. This was the obligation of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and any other person of authority. But they all set their own agenda and their own plans. John chapter 3, where Nicodemus could not understand the Lord's meaning of being born again, the Lord Jesus says to him, "You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things." So if Nicodemus didn't know, all the other Pharisees didn't know either, let alone the Sadducees or the scribes. They recorded these things faithfully, word for word, but it was up here in head knowledge and not in heart knowledge. So we notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, that the apostles were given commandments. They were not recommendations or suggestions, as many people claim today, until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had been given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So that is that we don't pick or choose which ones we should follow or accept. The Lord presented himself to the apostles for 40 days after his resurrection until he was taken up into heaven. We don't know all of the interactions between the Lord and his disciples, but in that 40 days, but I'm sure that he would have repeated and reminded them of all the teachings, the meanings, and the consequences of them. Also regarding the purpose and the power of the miracles that had been performed in the time that they had been together with the Saviour. Luke 24 and verse 43. Now this is 42, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "It was written, and thus behold, Christ should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endowed with power from on high." So we can see clearly that they were given instructions, and they did stay until the day of Pentecost, and which was the 50 days after the resurrection, after the crucifixion. So it is 50 days after the Passion of... It was originally the festival of the harvest, the joyous agricultural thanksgiving for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So in context today, it is the joyous celebration of spiritual new life in the Saviour as a person comes to know Christ as his personal Saviour. It is their Pentecost. That is their first harvest. That is their first relationship with the living God. So the disciples would be baptised with the Holy Spirit at that time. Although the Lord did not exactly say when that would be, rather, not many days hence. in verse 6 of chapter 1. When therefore they came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And so Israel did have a king, but it was a puppet king appointed by the Romans, who were the occupying army. The disciples were thinking of the kingdom of Israel after the fashion of their former kings, such as David and Solomon and Hezekiah. They're good kings. They had a lot of wonderful things happen in the time of these good kings. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples had asked the same question. At that time, the Lord Jesus gave a long two-chapter explanation or an answer, that is Matthew 24 and 25. But in Matthew 24 and verse 42, he said to them, watch therefore for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. And so they were to be watching as to what these things would come about and when this should be. Have a look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. And that was, you know. So the fig tree is a symbol of Israel, as is also the grapevine and the olive tree. But in regard to the fig tree, it says, when the fig tree his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. I believe this is 1948, when Israel became a nation again. And says here, verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So I was born in 1948 and I haven't passed away yet. And so it seems to me that the Lord's return must be at any time now. And as we see the circumstances the world is in every day on the news and everything that's happening, and the ban of lawlessness is getting stronger and stronger, and it must be very, very close when the Lord Jesus returns. And then the new temple were built and the seven-year tribulation comes to pass. But believers will be already in heaven at that time. So then the Lord goes on in verse 7, and it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Lord Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So now the Pharisees had asked the Lord for a sign, meaning a miracle, and he'd answered them back in Matthew 16, he said that they knew the signs of the weather, whether fair or bad weather, but they did not know the signs of the times. The followers of Christ, on the other hand, must be aware of all happenings far and near. And so the fathers determined the appropriate time of the Lord's return. Now the Bible warns against date setting, instead emphasises being ready and whenever. Back in 1994, I went to a funeral down at Manjum up, and I met a lady who was the mother of one of my missionary colleagues. Actually saw him yesterday at a reunion, and this lady had worked out a date in October the following year, so meaning 1995, when the Lord Jesus would come. Well, that time has come and gone. Also, the Jehovah's Witnesses, back in the early 1900s, they had predicted that Christ would return in 1918. And that's when they had calculated that their numbers would reach 144,000. 144,000, you find in Revelation chapter 7. So they were going to have 144,000 followers in 1918. And anyway, 1919 came about, and the Lord Jesus did not come. So it was a secret return, according to the Jehovah's Witness. Now, as we come down to where it was there in verse 8, the word power comes from the Greek word dynamis, from where we get dynamite, dynamic, and dynamo. So power would come upon the new apostles at the time of God's choosing, at at Pentecost. Those men would be able to heal the sick, speak in other languages without learning them, and so forth. Today we have some people who say that if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not a Christian. And so it doesn't seem to be according to the scriptures. These apostles would be witnesses under Christ, first in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So after that, there would the followers of the Saviour were given, grew in wisdom and understanding of the scriptures. They would move further afield to far-flung places with their testimony of Christ. The manner of their witness and testimony was that they gossiped the gospel. If they met a person, they'd say, "Hey, have you heard this latest story that I heard the other day?" And they'd tell this story of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gossiped the gospel. And so it was a thing that that God endowed upon them. So they took every opportunity to speak of the Christ who was nailed to a cross and then was raised from the dead on the third day. What is our demeanour? What is our conversation when we meet new people? Can they know that we are different to the world? Are we willing to stand for godly trends and ideals? Or will we just go along with the flow? the apostles' deaths recorded in Scripture only mention one apostle who was killed. That's James. James the Great was beheaded by Herod. The other apostles, according to traditions, says that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome in Nero's reign. Andrew was crucified in Greece. Thomas was run through with a spear in India. Bartholomew preached in Armenia and India. He was flayed alive and beheaded. Philip was martyred in Hierapolis, which is modern-day Turkey. James the Lesser was stoned in Jerusalem. Simon the Zealot was reported to be sawn in half in Persia. Thaddeus was killed in Lebanon or Persia. Matthias, who replaced Judas, was martyred by stoning. As I say, where that was. John was the only one to die a natural death on Patmos. It is said that he was burnt at the stake, but he didn't die. So a soldier ran him through with a sword, and so much blood came out of John's body that it put out the fire. And so they couldn't kill him. And so he died a natural death. It had been Paul's plan to travel to Spain, but he was beheaded in Rome. So these... and then it goes on about Ignatius of Antioch was martyred in 108 AD, executed by wild beasts at the Colosseum. Polycarp of Smyrna, a disciple of John, martyred in 155 AD, burnt at the stake and then ran through. Irenaeus, or however you pronounce it, was a disciple of Polycarp, and he served in France. So Irenaeus says that he was a disciple of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John, and John was a disciple of Jesus. This is the way he recorded himself. Alban, he followed the Roman conquest to Britain, and he was martyred in Britain. And it was a dispute whether he died in 209, 251, or 304 AD. He was beheaded. So when we were in the Philippines, my dad was sure that I was going to be killed in the Philippines. And but we need to be mindful of missionaries in different places, and their circumstances are that some missionaries, they don't give their surnames. They're recorded as in restricted areas. You don't even know where they are. And so that if the news get back to authorities in that different countries, then they could be in a lot of strife. So it's secretive where some of our missionaries are working unofficially. It is a like a tent ministry, as they say. So there are many active missionaries in many countries. A great work of the Lord were the Moravian Church. Missionaries originating from the Bohemian Reformation, they sent out hundreds of missionaries starting in 1732 to underserved populations worldwide, including enslaved people in the Caribbean, Native Americans and indigenous groups in the Arctic and Australia. The believers had fled to Saxony in Germany in 1722. The first Moravians to go out were Johann Leonhard Dober, he was a potter, and David Nixman, he was a carpenter. They went to the Caribbean island of St. Thomas. They were willing to become slaves so as to serve the slaves. They learned the native languages and traditions and translated the Bible, or parts of the Bible anyway, into those languages. The Moravians impacted John Wesley as he's going across the Atlantic in a storm, and Wesley saw just how calm these Moravian missionaries were in the storm. And a great impact on him. And also William Carey was impacted by Moravian missionaries. In 1727, 24 men and 24 women, Moravians, started a prayer meeting, a prayer time around the clock, day and night, every hour, and that prayer time lasted 100 years. So the Moravians were very out and out for the Lord. Verse 9 and 10, and the disciples had, as the Lord had spoken about the commandment, go into all the world, and he was taken up out of their sight, and as they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. As the Lord disappeared. If we'd been there on that occasion, we would watch the same thing. We'd be looking up into heaven as the Lord disappeared. And a great wonder. We remember that Elijah was also taken up into heaven. But he's not a saviour, but he's just a prophet of God. And so these two men standing beside the disciples, he doesn't say who the two men were, but it is considered that they were angels. But I guess they could have been prophets. But I suspect that they were angels. And the Gospels of Mark and Luke also record the ascension, but not in a great detail, as here in Acts. So these two men, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." So, what impact does these scriptures have on us today in 2026? As we see world events, they're happening at a rapid rate. We know that the Lord's return is imminent. So let us take every opportunity to come together whenever we can. And not just on a Sunday morning, Sunday night. And anticipate that the Lord's return is any time. We may not even get home. But I think maybe the Lord's return will be on a particular day, as he was crucified on a particular day, on Passover, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, and the disciples at Pentecost was a particular day, and so a special day for the Jews, and I suspect that the Lord's return will be on a particular day, which has a great meaning and great emphasis for the Jewish people. So may not be, but that's my way of thinking, that very likely that it will be on a specific day that is special for the Jews. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the scriptures we find in the book of Acts, not only in chapter 1, but right through the book. We do pray that as we consider these things, it will have a big impact on our hearts and minds as we seek to be a witness and testimony for Christ in these last days. We do commit in your care and keeping the whole number of Wilson Gospel Chapel and each brother and sister, especially the children. We're thankful too for the opportunity we have to minister to others who are unsaved, especially on Mondays, as they come for food. And we pray that that others will understand that Christians are different to the world, and this is the opportunity that they have to come to know the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. We do not know what tomorrow might behold. So we pray that each one will be greatly enthusiastic to follow after truth and righteousness and the testimony of Christ. These things we do pray in the name of the Saviour, Jesus. Amen.